Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Shane Kennedy, the youth minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Shane's message.
Well, good morning. Today is Senior Sunday, as you've already heard many people say. An exciting day, a day where we get to honor our seniors who are graduating from high school. And on this day, we just want to communicate to you seniors just how much you guys are loved by this church as you get ready to enter this next stage of life. We want to celebrate with you the end of one season and help launch you into the next season. We also hope that today is a reminder to you of just all the different faith lessons that you have learned while you've been at 10th and Broad. We want to encourage you to carry those with you as you go on to this next stage of life. But this day isn't just for the seniors. I think this is an important day for our church family as well, because I think Senior Sunday is a great reminder to us of our call that we have to continue to model and to teach Jesus to the younger generation and walk alongside them as they try to follow Jesus. So I hope that us as a church family are reminded of that this morning. We have an awesome group of seniors, like we do pretty much every year. They are a group that all four of our seniors have been super involved in our youth group. All four of them have really grown up here, have been here for many years. Some of them have been here their whole life. So this church has been pretty important to them. These seniors are going to be dearly missed by our youth group, and I know I'm going to miss them as well. They are a lot of fun. They have a heart for Jesus, and they love others as well. So I know I am going to miss them. One observation that I made as I was preparing for this morning was I thought it was interesting. Out of the senior class, several of them are the oldest sibling in their family. That three out of the four are the oldest child. And I bring that up, I wanted to point that out, because I feel like they've carried that role well of being an older brother or an older sister. And I'm not just talking about to the siblings in their family, but I'm talking about to the other teens in our youth group. That y'all have been leaders to them. This group is one that has made sure to help the other teens in our group feel loved and welcomed and accepted in this group. And they're also ones that have lived as an example for those younger teens in our group and tried to treat people in a way that is an example for those younger teens. But I thank y'all for the leaders that y'all have been and the good older brothers and sisters you have been in our group. Well, though you will be missed in the youth ministry, I'm excited, and we are excited for what God has in store for you for this next stage of life. And selfishly, I'm glad that several of you will be going to college here in town for at least a little while, so we'll still get to see you on a regular basis. And Oklahoma Christian isn't too far, so we get to see Aaron a lot too. As I begin my message this morning, let me start by kind of telling you a little bit about my week. Have you ever had one of those weeks that did not go according to plan? That was the week for my family this week. The first thing that we got to experience was we found out early in the week that my daughter had hand, foot, and mouth disease. So that was fun that we got to deal with. But don't worry, she's here this morning, but she's not contagious anymore. We went to the doctor on Friday and they cleared her. But because she had hand, foot, and mouth, she couldn't go to daycare as usual. So I got to stay home with her several days, and Rachel stayed home with her one day. And I love to get to stay home with my daughter. But there's a lot of preparation to be done for Senior Sunday. And working with a toddler is nearly impossible. So that was one challenge I got to have this week. Then on Wednesday morning, my wife got up, and she got up early because she was going to go work out before she went and taught in holiday, and she walked into the hallway, and our carpet was wet. And closer investigation, it wasn't just our carpet, but our walls as well. We found out that there was a pipe that had been leaking in the wall. And so we've had lots of visitors this week. We've had plumbers come to see us, and we've had Service Masters guys come and dry out the carpet and dry out the walls. I think at one time we had something like 7 fans in our house and a dehumidifier. So it got a little noisy. We had to go sleep in my parents' house one night. So it's been a week of challenges for us. Well, I don't tell you that story so that you feel sorry for me or so I can let you know just how bad I've got it. Because really, there's a lot of people facing problems that are a lot worse than the ones I'm having to face. And I don't tell you that story just so you can lower your expectations for my sermon. But I tell you that story to illustrate that often in life, things do not go as planned. That often there are going to be bumps in the road or unexpected storms that pop up that we have to deal with. Well, graduation time is a time for planning. You're looking ahead to the future and you're trying to answer questions like, what am I going to do after high school? Where am I going to college? What career am I going to pursue? Who am I going to live with? Where am I going to live? How am I going to pay for college? These are all things that you are trying to answer. And as you try to answer this, you're trying to come up with the best plan possible for your future to set you up for success. But let me let you in on a little secret. Things in life do not always go as planned. The way that things work out aren't the way that you had hoped for them to work out. So things are going to happen in life that you did not plan for. So maybe the career field that you hope to go into, maybe you get into college and you realize that's not the career field for you, and so you have to change your major. Maybe that relationship that you're really excited about with that girl or that guy, maybe he really isn't Mr. Right and that doesn't work out. Maybe that job that you hope to get after college that you really wanted, maybe you don't get it and you have to come up with plan B. That's part of life, that life often comes with unexpected storms. Y'all may be thinking right now, man, Shane, this isn't a very cheerful message for Senior Sunday as I look forward to my future. The reason I'm sharing this difficult truth that life doesn't always go according to plan is that I want y'all to be prepared for those moments when storm hit in life. Well, I want to look at a story from the life of Paul this morning. Paul is someone who could really write a book on when life doesn't go according to plan. In fact, I guess he kind of did. He wrote 13 New Testament letters that often talk about facing trials in life. But Paul, he's the one that used to be known as Saul. And Paul, when we're first introduced to him in the book of Acts, he's kind of made it his life goal to persecute and to kill Christians and to try to stop the growth of the church. You see, he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah or the Son of God. He believed he was a false teacher and that his message was a threat to Judaism. And so he thought he was doing the work of God by standing against Paul. But then we know the rest of the story, that Paul actually encounters the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus, and that changes everything for him. He realizes that everything he believed about Jesus was wrong, that Jesus really was the Son of God. He really did die and raise from the dead. Can you imagine what that feeling would be like, to think that you were doing what God wanted you to do and then realize you were actually working against God? What a feeling that would have been like for Paul. But God, he didn't punish Paul or condemn Paul, but rather he takes him and he transforms his life and he says, I'm going to make you from someone who was persecuting Christians to now someone who's going to make Christians. And he sends him throughout the world, and Paul makes Christians in many different cities. You see, we have a God that has a tendency to come into our lives and mess up our plans. And normally, or always, God's plans are better than our own. But that's not the part of Paul's story that I want to focus on. I want to look at a part of his story that's a little further along in his life. This part of the story happens after Paul has already gone on 3 different missionary journeys where he brought many people to become Christians. He started several churches in different cities. And then Paul, he felt led to go to Jerusalem. He had been taking up a collection at all these different churches of money because he wanted to go back to Jerusalem and help some of the poor and suffering Christians in Jerusalem. But he knew going to Jerusalem, he had been warned by the Holy Spirit that he could face trouble, that he may be arrested, he may be killed, because there are a lot of Jewish leaders there that oppose Paul and his message. Well, sure enough, when Paul goes there, the Jews stir up trouble against him, and he is arrested, and he's beaten. He even has to be moved north to Caesarea because there's a plot to kill him among the Jews, and so he's moved to protect him. And there in Caesarea, he actually stays in prison for 2 years waiting for his case to be decided. And he appears before several different people in power with funny names like Festus, Felix, and Agrippa. He appears before these people and they hear his case. And each one of them, if you go back and read the account, each one of them conclude that Paul is innocent, that he doesn't deserve to be in prison or deserve death. But yet they don't free him because they want to do a favor to the Jews and they're afraid of the backfire if they would free him. And so he sits wrongly in prison for 2 years, waiting for his decision. And so Paul uses his right as a Roman citizen, and he appeals to Caesar, which means that he gets to go to Rome, and his case will be heard in front of the highest courts in Rome. One of the reasons he wanted to go to Rome is God had actually spoken to Paul shortly after he was arrested and said, "It is my plan for you that just as you've testified about me in Jerusalem, I want you to go testify about me in Rome as well." And so him appealing to Caesar was him trying to carry out God's plan for him in going to Rome. Paul knows it's God's plan for him to go to Rome. So surely you would think, if this is God's plan, wouldn't God make this path to Rome smooth or make this path to Rome clear? If that's God's plan, wouldn't it have been a really easy journey to Rome? But if you know the story, you know that's not the case. The journey does not go as planned for Paul. So let me tell you about some of the bumps of the road that Paul faces as he journeys to Rome. He's put on a ship to sail to Rome, and he's put under the watch of a Roman centurion named Julius, and they sail for a while, and they get to the island of Crete, and there at Crete, they arrive at a harbor called Fair Havens, and Paul encourages them and warns them. He says, we shouldn't sail on anymore, but we should stop here and harbor for the winter, but they don't listen to him, and they want to go farther down the island to another harbor, and at this time of the year, with the sailing technology that they had in that time, if you're sailing in September, it's considered pretty dangerous. If you're sailing in November, it's considered pretty much nearly impossible. And this is happening in October when they're sailing. And so they sail, and sure enough, a storm comes from the northeast, and it blows them off course, and they're sent off out to sea. And the storm is so bad that they have to run ropes underneath the ship just to hold the ship together. And they start throwing supplies over, important supplies, the ship's tackle overboard in hopes of saving themselves. So this is worst case scenario that they're facing. So that's one of the bumps that he faces. So they endure the storm. And next, as they sail towards an island, which is actually the island of Malta, they find out, they end up running aground on a sandbar, and the surf pushing against their ship is tearing their ship apart. So they decide, we got to abandon ship. The only problem is they have lots of prisoners aboard. And for a Roman guard, if you let your prisoner escape, you could face death yourself. They decide, well, let's just kill all the prisoners so we don't have to worry about them being escaping. And so that means Paul, too, who is aboard. So another pretty big bump in the road that people are wanting to kill him. But at this point, Paul has made an impression on some of the people around him. He's made an impression specifically on the centurion that has been watching him, that the centurion has witnessed Paul's character, and he's seen the type of trust he has in his God. And so that Roman centurion speaks up, and he persuades the other crew members and the guards not to kill the prisoners, but to let them live, and he saves Paul's life. And then once they reach the island, you think it was done. That's enough bumps already to have a storm, a shipwreck, to have people want to kill you, but it's not done yet. Once they reach shore, they're welcomed by the people of the island, and they even build a fire for them. And as Paul is gathering wood, he's bitten by a poisonous snake. And the people of the island look at Paul and they say, man, what has that guy done that he escaped the sea only to be bitten by a poisonous snake? He must have done something to really upset the gods, is what they thought. But they continue to watch Paul, and the snake bite does not affect him. Now they change their perspective, and they think, well, maybe Paul is a god. Because Paul gets this reputation, he's brought before this government official whose father is sick, and Paul actually, with the help of God, is able to heal this man's father. And then all the sick of the island are brought to Paul, and God uses him to heal all the sick of the island. So this kindness that Paul has shown to the people of the island and the way God has worked through him, it caused these islanders to give them a ship and to give them supplies to complete their journey and to make it to Rome. So if you want to recap all the things that he faced, all the bumps in the road on this journey, as he's trying to follow God's plan for his life going to Rome, he faced a storm and was blown out to sea. He was shipwrecked against a sandbar. There were guards that wanted to kill him and threaten his life. And then he was bitten by a poisonous snake. That's quite a journey. I've had some bad travel experiences, but I've never had anything that bad before. Do you think that was all part of Paul's plan? Do you think that's what he expected when God called him to go to Rome? Probably not. But I think it's significant the way that Paul responds, that when he faced these storms, these trials, that he responds in a way where he continues to trust in God. And I want to look at a verse that kind of tells us a little bit of his perspective as he faced this. After the storm and after the crew members had gone a while without having any food, Paul actually gets up and he speaks to the crew on the ship. This is before they were ever shipwrecked. And if you think about that, that's pretty crazy that a prisoner, not the captain of the ship, not the centurion, no one in authority, but a prisoner gets up in front of the crew and he speaks to the crew members. And this is what he says in Acts 27, verse 21 through 25. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me.'" That's an amazing perspective to have in the middle of a storm. In the middle of the worst case scenario, Paul continues to trust in God. And not only that, as he's facing these trials, he doesn't despair of thinking, "Man, why is God making me go through this?" But rather, he has the perspective of, how can God use me in the middle of this trial to influence the people around me? And because he has that perspective, he's able to influence the centurion and the crew and all the people on the island of Malta. He has a wide-reaching influence because he's able to have that perspective. Rather than being overwhelmed by the trials that he faces, he's able to influence the people around him because he's open to how God wants to use him. I think that's a pretty awesome perspective for Paul to have. So how can we be like Paul? How can we, no matter what storms may come in life, be able to continue to trust in God and allow God to use you to influence the people around you, even in the midst of a storm? I want to give y'all some very practical advice. I just want to give you two things that you can do that will help keep you anchored to God whenever you face those storms in life. And I could list several points here, but I wanted to just emphasize these two because I feel like they're very important, and I feel like they're two things that could very much make a difference in your life. So the number one thing you can do to remain anchored to God is to seek out community. You need Christian community around you, a body of believers that are going to love you and walk with you through life, and they're going to be there for you when you face those storms. People that will encourage you and point you towards Christ. So I encourage you, as you go off to college, find a church quickly you can get plugged into and jump fully in that church. I know a lot of students kind of like to try out a lot of different churches and kind of find the right fit. I encourage you, don't spend more than a month looking for churches. Within that first month, find a group of people that love Jesus and look like they're trying to follow him and commit to that church and be a part of that church. And get to know the people, be involved, form relationships with people, and then find a place where you can serve and have a purpose in that church as well. For those of you that are going to stay here, I know sometimes it can be difficult transitioning from being in that youth group and then moving on to a college student and kind of finding your place in the church. I encourage you, get plugged into Mustangs for Christ. There are some cool things going on over there. I know if you become part of Mustangs for Christ, I know you're going to be challenged and you're going to be equipped to be a good disciple and to make disciples as well. So I encourage you to plug into M4C. I think Justin would be excited to have a presence on the campus of Vernon College, where a couple of you are going. So that'd be pretty awesome to have those people involved. So get into a base group, pour into that ministry, and really enjoy being a part of that. And even though you're being a part of M4C, still pursue relationships here at Tyndon Broad as well. There are people here that can offer you things that you may not get from other college students. As a part of community, you need good peers around you. You need people that are at the same stage of life as you, that can walk with you and encourage you as y'all both go through that. But you also need good mentors. You need people who are further along on their journey with Christ that you can look to and that you can learn from, to learn what it looks like to really follow Jesus with your life. And so I know y'all have heard me say this before, but I encourage you to do it. Seek out good mentors. Identify someone that loves Jesus and looks like Jesus, and go to them and say, hey, would you mind purposefully mentoring me? Would you meet with me regularly, whether it be once a week, once every 2 weeks, even once a month? A mentor that's willing to meet with you, to talk about life with you, someone that you can seek wisdom and wise counsel from, someone that can pray with you, that can read the Bible with you. That would be so valuable to have those people in your life that are willing to be those kind of mentors. Paul experienced having good mentors, and not only that, but being good mentors to others as well. One of the mentors that Paul experienced was a guy named Barnabas. He was known as the son of encouragement. I think if you're known as the son of encouragement, I think that'd be a pretty awesome mentor to have. I don't know if Paul would be the person that he was, the missionary that he was, if he didn't have Barnabas. Barnabas was the one that when Paul became a Christian and he wanted to meet with the apostles, but the apostles were afraid of his reputation, Barnabas was the one to step in and to vouch for Paul. And Barnabas was the one to go get Paul and to bring him to the church in Antioch to allow him to be a part of that ministry. He was a great encourager for Paul and helped him live out his calling that God had for him. So Barnabas was a good mentor to Paul, and we know that Paul was a good mentor to others, to guys like Timothy and to Titus, that he encouraged them and equipped them to be young leaders in God's church. I think about some of the mentors that have influenced me in my life and the value of having those relationships in my life. I think of guys like Chris Roby, who is Jenny Aaron's brother, that he allowed me to intern with him when he was a youth minister 3 summers in a row. He put up with me for that long. And he showed me what it looked like to really love and minister to teens and to communicate the truth of Jesus to them. I think of guys like Dave Wynn, who's the preacher in Vernon, where I was before I came here. You'll get to hear him speak this summer if you come on Wednesday nights. He'll be at one of the summer series nights. But he's a guy who showed me how to love a church. And not only that, he's a guy that showed me how to be a good husband and a good dad. Those are relationships that I value so much. We need those mentor relationships in our life, no matter what age you are, but especially you seniors. So find a community that has good mentors for you, and also find that person that you can pour into and you can invest in, someone that you can influence. That's something that you need in a community as well, someone that you can model how it looks to follow Christ. So that was the first thing, is find community. That's one thing that can keep you anchored to God. And the other thing is spend regular quiet time with God. That seems simple, but if prayer and reading the Bible is a regular habit in your life, it will allow you to have a perspective like Paul, that rather than being overwhelmed by the storms of life, you can trust in God through those storms and see how he can use you in those storms. Prayer has a way of forming in us a Christ-like perspective of looking at the world, that it helps form and shape our hearts and our desires to line up with the hearts and desires of the Father. And so we're not only concerned just about our will, but we're concerned about God's will, and we can see how he wants us to work in the people's lives around us. So that's why prayer can be so valuable. And then reading God's word regularly. I mean, if we believe that these truly are the words of life, that they help provide life to the full, if we believe this is God-breathed, that the creator of the universe and the creator of me actually communicated to man through these men that wrote down these words, that's a book I would want to read. If it's a book written by the creator of the universe, if you truly believe that this is living and active and relevant to our lives today and sharper than any double-edged sword, if we claim these things about the Bible with our lives, if we truly believe that, why would we not want to immerse ourselves in it? Because it is words of life. So I encourage you, let that be a regular practice of you, of spending time reading your Bible. And these forming these daily habits is as simple as just doing it over and over again, picking a time, whether it's in the morning or before you go to bed, picking a time where you can spend time in prayer, spend time reading His Word, and forming these habits that help you have the perspective to trust in God and to allow Him to use you no matter what you may face in life. All right. Well, guys, I'm excited for you and what God has in store for you in the future. No matter what you face, I just encourage you to pursue Him with all your might, because He is good and His plan for you is good as well. So at this time, we want to honor our seniors by giving them a Bible with their name on it. I'm going to call them up here one by one. I'm going to tell you guys about them. And then afterwards, I'll have people come up to pray over you guys. So first one I want to call up is Aaron Baker. All right. Aaron is the son of Matt and Vicky Baker. He went to high school at Wichita Christian School. He plans to attend Oklahoma Christian University. Good choice. And he plans on majoring in computer science. In high school, some of the activities that Aaron was most involved in include lots of sports, football, basketball, tennis, track, and he was also involved in student council as well. Some of his proudest accomplishments from high school include he was a two-time doubles tennis state champion, along with J.P. Holsberry, who many of you know, and he was also a state champion in the 110-meter hurdles and got second in the 300-meter hurdles. Some of his greatest memories from the youth group come from trips like Zenith, or going to Winterfest, or several of the mission trips, including ones to Indiana, Moore, Oklahoma, and last year to San Benito, Texas. His message to the church is to continue to be a loving, accepting, supportive family, and keep setting a Christ-like example to help lead others to a better relationship with Him. Aaron Baker. All right, Abigail Dold. All right. Abigail is the daughter of David and Diane Dold. She went to Burke Burnett High School. She plans on attending Vernon College and will major in pre-vet medicine with hopes of becoming a veterinarian. Some of the things that she was most involved in high school include the Boomtown Babes drill team, the FFA student council, and Teens Make a Difference. One of her proudest accomplishments from high school was receiving the Vet Tech Award. And she has been a part of lots of different youth group activities, and some of her greatest memories come from Zenith and Wilderness Trek, and also her mission trips she's gone to to San Benito and to Moore, Oklahoma, and also Winterfest. And she, every year, I give them an opportunity for them to write a message to the church, the youth group, or their parents, and I give them about three lines to write it on, and every year there's a senior that decides to write a book, and Abigail wrote a lot, and I read the one already to the youth group during youth group time, but I want to read the one to your parents. To Mom and Dad, "Well, I'm not moving out just yet. Thanks for putting up with me these past 18 years. You both have shown me what it means to be a follower of Christ. I feel like I can tell you anything, and no matter what the circumstance, you'll love and support me. You both have made such an impact on my life, and I hope to live up to that and be a person who shows love, kindness, gentleness, and joy. I love y'all so much. And when I move out, please don't let Bailey knock down the wall between our rooms." Abigail Dold. All right, Laura Kimbrell. All right, Laura is the daughter of Jerry and Amy Stanford, and she graduates from City View High School. She also plans on attending Vernon College and then hopes to transfer to the University of North Texas to pursue a degree in audiology. Some of the activities she was most involved in high school include band and National Honor Society. One of her proudest accomplishments from high school was being in National Honor Society for 3 years. One of the most memorable youth group activities for her were the retreats that we did at Camp Chaparral. And she wants to say to the church, "Thank you for giving me lots of opportunities to help me grow to where I am now." And to her youth group, she wants to say, "I've had so much fun talking, laughing, and sharing memories that I'll have for years." And to her parents, she says, "Thank you for being there for me through the years. Thank you for shaping me into a beautiful Christian young lady. I couldn't have done it without you. I love you with all my heart." Laura Kimbrell. And our last senior, I don't think she's been able to make it this morning, but her name is Sheridan Petrie. And Sheridan, y'all can clap for Sheridan. Yeah. Sheridan is the daughter of Becky Stevens and the granddaughter of Jean and Sherry Stevens. She graduates from Burke Burnett High School, and she hopes to attend either MSU or Vernon and pursue a degree in social work. I know in high school she was involved in color guard in the band and also winter guard. And she went on many different youth group activities with us, including Zenith and Winterfest. And I know Sheridan has a heart for this youth group and for this church, and she loves you all very much. All right, well, church family, this is your class of 2016. Well, I'm going to give a charge to you as a church family now. Our job is not finished with these seniors yet, but I encourage you to continue to love them and continue to model Christ for them. If they're going off, send them care packages. Even if they're not going off, I'm sure they'd appreciate care packages. Give them phone calls, give them a big hug when you see them back at TMB, and just continue to show Christ to them. I want to invite Don Wallace up at this time. He's going to pray over these seniors. I also want to invite all the elders up to come pray over them as well, and also all the families of the seniors. If you want to come up and surround your senior up here, if y'all are close to him, you can put a hand on him, and Don's going to pray over these seniors for us.
As I read the bios on these seniors, something that I noticed was they have lofty goals and educational goals. But more importantly, I can tell that they have lofty spiritual goals. And here's something I've noticed over the years, being and rubbing shoulders with education. If you've got some good kids, you've got some good parents and grandparents. So this morning, as we pray for our seniors, we also want to continue to pray for those that have influence in their lives. So will you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful this morning for the four seniors that represent 10th and Broad Church this year. Father, we thank you for the way that you've blessed their lives. Father, we're mindful that they've been put in a situation where they know what it is to be a spiritual person. Father, we thank you for that. Father, we pray that you will be with them as they launch out and become independent people in this world. Father, there will be struggles, there will be storms. And we pray that they will be able to walk over those struggles and storms and stay true to you. Father, we pray that you will give them strength to continue to develop their own individual faith in you. Father, we pray you help them reach their spiritual goals and their educational goals as they enter this new phase in their life. We also pray that you will continue to bless their parents and their grandparents and other relatives and this church as we have opportunity to influence their lives. Father, just go with them now. Give them strength and encouragement, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
consider that.